Welcome in. You are listening to the Blue Notes Podcast, a presentation of Indianapolis Colts stories and notes. I am your host, Benji Taylor. Well, for the ninth consecutive season, the Colts lose in Jacksonville. Well, that's not entirely true. One of those years, I think it was maybe 2016, they traveled all the way to London to lose to the Jags, but you get the point. Another year, same result. No luck down in Jacksonville, Florida. It kind of seemed like the Colts had a bit of momentum. They've got a new young coach. Jonathan Taylor is back. They were coming off a nice, gutsy performance at home against the Titans, but it wasn't enough to break the spell. The Jags pounded the Colts Sunday 37-20. It's kind of hard to know where to go from here. Finding a bright spot in that loss and with this precarious team is difficult to do right now, but I'm going to try. Stick around and let's see if we can do it. Before we go on, I want to say that this is the 90th episode of the podcast. And as they say, that plus $2 might buy you a Dr. Pepper. But hey, who doesn't like a Dr. Pepper, right? It's also a little bit unfortunate that this is the 90th episode and that number 90 for the Colts, Grover Stewart, is not having a great week. As much as I would like to dedicate this episode to him, it's not a good time for that. Tuesday, it was announced that Grover will be suspended for 6 games for taking some kind of illegal substance. This is absolutely terrible news. He and Buckner combined for one of the best defensive interiors in football. Plus, Grover is a fan favorite. We all love that guy. And he's a game wrecker, especially in the run game. This team is going to feel his loss for sure. Grover is also in the final year of his contract, so that might complicate matters. I thought he might get an extension prior to the start of the season, but who knows what will happen now. I do fully expect him to return and finish the season. I suppose Grover could appeal the suspension and possibly return sooner. Only time will tell, though, but Grover's subtraction from a team that seems to be towing the edge of a free fall isn't ideal. I said I was going to focus on the positive, and I'm really trying to do that, but I also have to address the gut-punching news. To ignore it would be naive and negligent. The real challenge will be to spin it positively. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Well, here it is. It has now been confirmed that Anthony Richardson will have surgery on his injured shoulder and miss the remainder of the season. And that's just devastating. Absolutely devastating. After only 84 pass attempts, 173 offensive snaps, 4 games played, only 1 complete game, and 4 different injuries, Anthony Richardson's rookie season is over. Countless questions were immediately posed once the Colts drafted AR at number 4, but none bigger than this. Can he be a franchise quarterback for the Colts for years to come? And his rookie season now ends without providing that answer. Certainly, the talent is there. He's such an exciting player. The potential and athleticism are unquestioned. But at this point in his life, Richardson has started only 17 adult football games. That's it. That's like going on 2 dates and proposing marriage. We want the Hollywood ending, but I just don't think we have enough to make that call just yet. My questions and worries really have very little to do with Richardson's talent or potential. Why would we think he could stay healthy enough to play in this league? That's the question that will loom heavy over the remainder of this season and on into the offseason. He started 4 games and finished 1. His season is done by week 7. What are we supposed to do with this information? Ironically, I looked at Bryce Young, the Carolina quarterback, who was supposed to be the most NFL-ready prospect and was scared to death that the Colts might try to draft him. He's 5'0" and 100-0. I thought he'd get crushed in this league, smashed to smithereens. Instead, the Colts drafted a marvel of a human. Richardson is built like a linebacker but runs like a gazelle. Yet he has finished only 1 game before being knocked out for the season. It's unsettling and sad. The ripple effects of this season-ending injury are wide-reaching, but there's also a very simple way to look at this. It stinks for the fans because we don't get to see him play football anymore this year. That's the worst part. Jim Aiello of The Athletic said this about the loss of AR. He said, "I feel robbed of fun." And that's it. Same for me, Jim. Our hopes coming into the season after drafting a quarterback at number 4 overall was that we would learn if he is truly the franchise quarterback. That's what we wanted to know. Unfortunately, we just aren't going to have that answer in 2023. But we will learn much about head coach Shane Steichen and whether the Colts made the right hire at his position. I like him, and he's done really well when there was at least a threat that Anthony Richardson would play. But with Gardner Minshew scheduled to start, the game script has not been so positive. I was thinking about this. This league is like no other. One game per week means that coaches and players spend an entire week planning, scheming, practicing in preparation for one opponent. This isn't baseball where they play a game every day. Like, what are they doing? What's the point of all that? No, this league is highly schematic. And that's why backup quarterbacks sometimes have some success coming off the bench. It's really not uncommon. They come in mid-game and the other team hasn't prepared for them. But as Stephen Holder pointed out, everything changes when the opponent has a week to prepare. Holder wrote this after Sunday's loss. Minshew has performed best this season when coming off the bench in relief of Richardson. But in the two games he started, when opponents had a chance to prepare for him, he has struggled. And that's the truth. Minshew is gritty. He's won me over. I'm a fan. But Holder is telling the truth. So we're going to learn over the next few weeks whether the Colts head coach can overcome this new obstacle. I promise you, Shane Steichen is going to earn his money this year. Let me ask you something. Have you ever had a job where the paycheck just felt like a bonus? You loved the job so much that you felt guilty getting paid? If anyone is out there nodding ahead in agreement, well, good for you. That's great. Other jobs, you earned that check with blood. I was a substitute teacher for 2 years before I made my way to the college ranks. Those 2 years felt like 10. During the second of the two, I took a long-term middle school health job because I needed the money. I desperately needed the money, and I earned that check every day. The content was not interesting. The class held no serious weight on the students' report cards. Oh, and I was terribly inexperienced. I had no idea what I was doing. It was a disaster scenario, like being thrown into a cage match with a pack of hyenas. And I had to fight those fiends every day. But mostly, I wasn't fighting the students. I was fighting for my own sanity. Sadly, I won't say that I escaped unscathed, but I did learn some great lessons about patience and tolerance and classroom management. And somehow, although I was miserable, I look back on those days fondly and thankful for those valuable lessons learned. With AR out for the season, Shane Steichen will learn similar lessons in 2023, and he's going to earn that paycheck. Listen, you all wanted to pile on Frank Reich when his offense wasn't humming like the 2007 Patriots, but every week since Andrew Luck retired, Frank was trying to scheme wins with a limited quarterback. Going forward, that looks to be the case for Shane Steichen too. For 4 out of the first 5 weeks, Shane Steichen had an alien at the position, and this team looked exciting and fun. Defenses were left on their heels, and Steichen was able to take advantage of that. As much as I enjoy Gardner and was hoping to usher in Minshew mania, the truth is, and we saw this Sunday, Gardner is quite limited, especially as a starting quarterback. I guess that's the good news. We won't get our answers about the rookie quarterback, but we will know for sure by January if Shane Steichen is the right man for the Colts. I don't know if you would consider that good news, but the answers about Shane could provide clarity, and that's good. In all seriousness, I was able to scrape together some really good news from Sunday's loss. Here it is. Gardner completed his first 9 passes Sunday. That was good, right? I'm not excited about his 50-plus pass attempts and think that's a recipe for disaster, but I'm trying to stay focused here. That first drive and those 9 consecutive completions show what Minshew can really do. He's a rhythm quarterback. When he is able to get into a nice, steady rhythm, he can be an effective passer. The task for Steichen will be developing and balancing that rhythm, because Minshew should never have 50 passing attempts in a game. That's a guaranteed loss. I quoted Aiello earlier, and I really like him, as well as James Boyd from The Athletic, but they said on their podcast episode that the Colts needed Minshew to win that game for them. But I totally disagree. That is not a winning game plan, ever. Minshew does well in the short rhythm passing game. He is a smart guy and can move the offense, but banking on him to win the game, that's a fool's bet. If your grandma pulls out a little pistol from her tiny little purse and is able to stave off an attacker, well, that's great news. You're lucky. But you don't really want to bank on grandma as your protector. That's not a good plan. I think the Colts can win some games this year with Gardner Minshew, but relying on him to win the games for you, that's not a good plan. Again, clarity is the benefit here. We know that it's going to be Minshew going forward. Now, Shane Steichen needs to adjust the offense to fit his skills and mask his limitations. And that's a tall task. We talked about Minshew's career numbers as a starter. They aren't good. When teams are able to prepare for him, as Holder wrote, Gardner Minshew has struggled mightily. Sunday wasn't a great boost in confidence that Steichen will rewrite the history of Minshew mania. But here again, I'm trying to spin this thing positively. Here's a weird idea. This would sidestep Minshew mania, but what about doing something else at quarterback? What about trading for somebody like Jameis Winston? Now, hear me out. The Colts were reportedly interested in him last year. He's big and athletic, much like Richardson. I wouldn't expect Jameis to come in and win the season for the Colts, but I do think with him at quarterback that Shane Steichen could run the offense he's comfortable with. And he's good at that. We've also seen that the running game is much better when there is some kind of threat that the quarterback might scramble. That threat just isn't there with Minshew. Another fan wondered if the Colts could alternate with Minshew and Sam Ehlinger. And I don't think that's a terrible idea either. Maybe the Wildcat offense involving both JT and Zach Moss in the backfield would be a stunning design. That's all you really need, though. The offense has to develop some new ways to stun the defensive plan. Whatever the plan is, I think the Colts need to get creative. The Colts put forth a disappointing effort Sunday in Jacksonville, that's true. But I also said that Sunday's matchup would be one of the toughest all season. The Colts now face a devastating defense at home this week against the Browns, but otherwise, it's a pretty favorable schedule after that. Sunday's loss didn't help matters, but I still believe that the Colts have a shot at the playoffs. Tennessee is a mess and now have an injured quarterback. The Texans are better than we thought they would be, but the Colts already beat them on the road and should be able to beat them again at home. That leaves Jacksonville, who has swept the Colts, but they have a much tougher schedule going forward. I'm not writing the Colts off just yet. Okay, well, this episode has been quite scattered, I'll give you that. I guess that's what happens after yet another abysmal loss in Jacksonville. But there were a couple good things to take away from that trip down south. Rookie Josh Downs had one of his best games of his young career. He is just coming along so well and can truly be a help to Gardner out of the slot. I keep bragging on Granton too. He has an occasional drop and sometimes they're painful, but I still like what he offers this offense. Tight ends just take longer to blossom, and I think we still haven't seen the best of Kylan Granton. Lastly, Jonathan Taylor was more involved this week. I'm going to try to withstand the temptation here to say that he should have been utilized more. Let's just suffice it to say that he was used differently and effectively, and I'm quite thrilled to see more of him this week. Okay, I'll end the scattered ramblings. The Colts play the Browns at home Sunday. The Browns defense gives me nightmares. Nightmares, I tell you. But their offense is kind of weird and not intimidating. Let's hope the Colts get creative Sunday, or Minshew Mania starts Sunday, or both. Come back next week and we will assess the damage. Take care and go Colts! This was a presentation of the Blue Notes Podcast. I'm Benji Taylor. Thanks for listening.